Good morning. You may be seated. Welcome to Replicate Church. We are so honored to have you here. If you're new here, we're definitely so happy that you've chosen to join us today to praise the Lord. This was a tremendous week with Replicate Church. Pastor will tell you more about it, but the crew is back from Johnny and Friends. And also, we want to thank Sean Perdue again for this guy right here for opening his home yesterday for the men's breakfast. It was one of the most moving testimonies I've heard in many years about the power of God and how he can change our lives. And, you know, one of the most interesting things, if you're still, have not developed an intimate relationship with Christ, one thing someone told me years ago was, they said, man, you know, the greatest thing about getting saved is you'll be able to look back and see many moments where God has saved you, knowing what your future held and that you were going to love him and serve him. And that was kind of the theme I was picking up yesterday in that testimony. I was like, man, this guy's life was saved so many times before he even gave his life to Christ. Amen. All right. With that being said, I just want to, again, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your generosity and your tithes and offerings that help us serve our community and do the Lord's work. If you visit our tables on the right-hand side over here, you'll see the next steps where you can fill out that connect card on the bulletin. We'd like to connect with you. If you have prayer requests or you want to serve, please fill that out. You can drop it in the offering box at the offering table, and that's where you can also donate or provide your tithes and offerings. But also take a look at replicatechurch.org. Don't worry about memorizing the website. It's on the little offering envelopes as well, and you can get set up for automated giving, which is the way I like to do it. That being said, let's pray over the tithes and offerings and get back into guided prayer and worship. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for the fathers among us today that you've just put in all of our lives. Lord God, we thank you for our brothers and sisters of Replicate Church. And Lord, we thank you for providing for all of our needs. Lord God, we just lift up our tithes and offerings to you today in an act of worship. Lord, we just give through Replicate Church to your kingdom so that we can multiply your kingdom, we can reach others, we can preach the gospel word to those in our community and beyond. Lord God, we just ask that you guide our hands as we, you know, apply these offerings and these gifts to your church. And Lord, we just thank you and praise your holy name. Amen.
Well, good morning and amen. This is, like Jerry said, this is a time, if you're a guest with us, where we just kind of spend some time together in prayer. This is a time for us to commune with our Heavenly Father. We use Scripture to guide us in that. And so our verse this morning that's going to guide us in our prayer is Luke 15:7, and it says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so here's our prompts that are going to kind of guide us in this prayer time this morning. First one is this: Jesus, thank you for receiving and welcoming me even though I blank. Even though I'm grumpy, even though I don't like people sometimes, even though I'm hard to love at times, thank you for receiving me, Lord. Prompt number two: all of heaven rejoices over that one repentant sinner. Jesus, pray that one day all of heaven will celebrate over blank. Think of that person in your life that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, and this morning just spend some time praying over them that this would be that one day all of heaven would rejoice because they finally chose to follow Jesus. And finally, Jesus, remind me today that the joy of heaven is greater than the opposition of blank. Just think about maybe the opposition you face in your life when it comes to following Jesus, and just help him, ask him to remind you that the joy of heaven, the joy of whatever you experience in this life, any suffering or trial, is greater than all of that. And so we're going to spend about 60 seconds of you just going to your Heavenly Father, just spending some time with him, preparing your heart for worship, preparing your heart to receive his word this morning. And so, like I said, we're going to pray. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. If you're brave enough, I encourage you to pray out loud, and then I'll close in prayer, and we'll get back into worship. So you guys spend a few moments with the Father this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you did not want heaven without us. Lord, that your love for us was so great that you decided to do something about our sin problem, that you sent Jesus to take our place on the cross. And so, Lord, we celebrate that today. We celebrate the victory we have in you. We celebrate the salvation we have in you. Lord, we just cry out to you this morning. We pray for those people in our lives that do not know your son Jesus as Savior, that they would come to know him, they would hear the gospel and receive it, and that all of heaven would celebrate over that. God, we ask you to lead us this morning. We ask your Holy Spirit to just open our hearts and our minds and be receptive to your word. We ask you to lead us in worship. We pray that our worship is just a sweet offering to you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would guide us into a place of submission and obedience to your word, that you would draw us closer to you, that we would be more have a deeper intimacy with you today than we did yesterday, Lord. Yeah, that we would live in that overflow of just that deep relationship with you. Yeah, that our joy would be abounding, that the gospel would just flow out of us in everything we say and do. That there would be no question of who we belong to when we go out into the world, that they would see the difference in us, they would see the love of Christ in us. There would be no question of whether we follow you or not. So God, we just submit this time to you, and we just pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd please remain standing for the reading of God's word. Jared Smith's going to come read our word for this morning. After that, kids, you guys are dismissed.
Hey, good morning. Happy Father's Day. This is Exodus 4:11. Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?"
Amen. Thank you, Jared. You guys can be seated. Kids, you guys are released. Amen and good morning. Happy Father's Day again this morning. If you're a guest with us, welcome. We're excited you're here. We know Father's Day, there's a lot of other things you could be doing. We're excited you came to worship with us. A couple things, we did have a group that just came back from being on mission all week. We're going to see a video for that in just a few moments. And towards the end of our gathering today, we're going to hear from a few of them. But a couple just quick things. Number one, dads. We don't always get as much cred as Mother's Day does, you know. We had a conversation up here this morning about that, and I think that's partially because mothers put the fear of God in their children and husbands, that they need to celebrate that, when rightfully so. But dads, we're just as important. Dads, in many ways, we set the tone for how our children view their Heavenly Father. And so if our children have a positive or negative view of their Heavenly Father, usually that's dictated by how they have viewed their earthly father. And so we have a huge role in that. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, maybe if you've never pursued Jesus, maybe you've not always been the greatest example, that there is no day like today than to start to pursue a life where you are living like Jesus and setting the example for your children of what a Heavenly Father should be like. And so I just encourage you in that. It's not a light task at all, but is the one we have been given. And so I encourage you to go forth and just pursue that with everything that you have. And in honor of Father's Day, I thought it was appropriate to do a dad joke. And so here's what we got. Why do skeletons not like to fight? Because they don't have any guts. All right. Couple things before we watch this video. Number one, we still need volunteers for our kids camp, our one-day kids camp. That's our version of VBS. It's an inclusive kids camp, so kids of all abilities are welcome. That also means we need extra volunteers because we're going to have some kids that are going to need some one-on-one help. We're going to have to do things a little bit differently. Sign-up sheets at the Next Steps table. That's July 26th. If you're like, I'm not sure where I can serve, just put your name down anyway. We will find a place for you. But if you haven't signed up, I encourage you to do so. The other thing is, on the 28th, that's a Saturday, we're going to have our Replicate Beach Day. Right now, we're looking to do a baptism or two on that day. So if you're like, hey, that's the next step I've been waiting for, come see me, and we can make that happen on the 28th. But The 28th is also just a time for us to fellowship as a church together out at the beach, just kind of hang out, get to know one another, that you don't always get to talk to people you don't always get to talk to on a Sunday morning because everybody's rushing in and out. But I hope you make plans to be at that coming up on the 28th. So before we watch the video, for these of you that don't know, we sent a group of 14 to go serve at it was called a family retreat, which is put on by a ministry called Johnny and Friends. And so what it is basically a week-long respite for families with special needs. And so some of our volunteers were paired with kids with disability, with siblings, for a whole week. And they served those kids and those families for a whole week. And so here's what I always love about serving at family at retreat, and that is I'm always reminded of what the church is supposed to look like. Because you're there for a whole week, you're worshiping, you're in God's word, and there's no complaining, there's no grumbling, everybody's caring and trying to outserve one another. And I'm like, that's what the church is supposed to look like the other 52, the 51 weeks of the year. And so I always come back saying, okay, how can we replicate this at Replicate, right? Pun intended there, right? And so how can we make sure that we are loving one another in that way? And so it just kind of motivates me to make sure we're doing things that are going to foster that kind of loving and encouraging and building one another up within the body of Christ locally. And so, Zeke, if we got that video, man, we'll go ahead and watch that and then...
Singing in the kitchen, family. Running through the yard, family. Going on vacation, family. On the credit card, family. All in this together, family. We're taking a chance, family. Like birds of a feather, family. Kick off your shoes and dance.
Amen. So you can see it was a great time. Now, you will see that there was one point in there we were having a silent disco. If you've ever done that, it's great. Now, I do have to point out that during that, there is some video footage somewhere, I think Ms. Renee has, that I might have been jumping around a little bit, and we had somebody who remained nameless that said, I didn't know people your age could jump around like that. And I was like, well, how old do you think I am? So, Ms. Lily, so... So yes, it is a fun time. So, and yes, people my age can jump around like that. It is perfectly acceptable. So we're going to get into Exodus 3 and 4 real quick, and then we're going to hear from some of our missionaries that went this week and just kind of what they, how God spoke to them. And so we're going to look at just, we're going to, our goal is Exodus 4:11. We got to do a little background work to get there. And we're really going to focus on this idea of everybody that is a follower of Christ can be used for God's good purposes for building his kingdom. And so if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 3 and 4, and that's where we're going to hang out for our little bit of time together this morning. And that's in the Old Testament. If you're not familiar with the Bible, that's going to be one of the first few books in your Bible. But Exodus chapter 3, we're going to be looking at Moses. If you don't know who Moses is, that's who God used to free the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, right? If you've ever watched the old Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston, like that was that's what I viewed the Bible as for many, many years, is like that story. Like when you talked about Moses, I thought Charlton Heston, like that's who I thought Moses was until I actually read the Bible, all right? And so that's what we're talking about this morning. Some of you are not old enough to even remember that movie anymore. So for 400 years, the people of Egypt had been enslaved, or the people of Israel had been in slavery in Egypt. And they had been calling out, they had been crying out to God, God, save your people. And so while they're in slavery in Egypt, Moses, who had grew up in Pharaoh's house, but was also an Israelite, had killed a couple dudes, fled from Egypt, and had been living out in the land of Midian and become a sheep herder. Just him and his family. And for some of you guys, like Moses was living your dream. Like he was in the middle of nowhere. There was nobody else around him but his peeps and his sheep. And he was like that homesteader in the middle of nowhere. But in doing that, he was living in isolation from the people of God. He was living in isolation from his spiritual family, his fellow Israelites, who are God's chosen people. And so while Moses was living in isolation, doing his sheep herder thing, as I said, the Israelites were crying out to God. They were crying out for a savior, that God would rescue them from their slavery. And so God, who always hears the cries of his people, heard their cries, and according to his sovereign will, according to his good purposes, answers their cry. And it was according to God's good and pleasing will that to answer their cry, to rescue them, he chose a man named Moses. Now, the only catch was this, is that Moses had no idea yet that God had chosen him for this mission. Again, Moses is just doing his thing out in the desert, keeping to himself the whole while. God is orchestrating things within the universe and then he's going to tell Moses, hey, Moses, I got this thing I've called you to do. God was going to use Moses to accomplish his good purposes in the world and to bring glory to his name. He was going to use Moses to bring his plan of redemption forward, because it would ultimately be, these were the beginning motions of when Jesus would be brought forth. Like everything in the Old Testament is leading up to Jesus. Everything God does is leading to Jesus. And so Moses is going to be a part of that redemptive plan. But again, Moses does not yet know about God's plan. And so Moses is out doing his sheep thing one day, and he minding his own business, and he looks up, and there's a bush that's on fire, right? And Moses does what any good man does, and he's like, I gotta go check that out. You don't see a bush burning on the side of a hill that's not burning up and say, I'm just gonna leave it alone. If you are any kind of man in the room, you go check it out, right? Because every man and their core is a pyro, right? We love fire. It's something that's genetically wired within us. And so he climbs up on the hill to check out this fire, this bush that is on fire but not burning up. And suddenly, as he approaches it, he hears a voice from the bush, if it wasn't weird enough, saying, Moses, Moses. It's God calling out to Moses, announcing his presence, that he is now in this holy place. And so he announces to Moses, hey, it's God, and I got some plans for you. He begins to tell Moses, hey, I got this. You got your people over in Egypt, and I'm going to use you, Moses. You're the one I've picked to go and rescue them out of slavery. And Moses does what many of us do in that moment when God calls us to do something. He starts giving God all the excuses for why he can't pursue God's calling in his life. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I think many of us in this room, there's been times where we know that God has called us to something, and we don't really want to do it, and so begin to give God all the reasons why we can't. Right? We totally forget that God is called, the God of the universe is sitting here telling us, I have picked you, I have chosen you to go and do this thing. We totally forget about that, and we just start coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse of why we can't. Verse 11, Exodus 3, verse 11, Moses says to God, God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, maybe there's a small sense of humility there on Moses' part. I think he's just trying to get out of it. Like, I don't really think he's concerned about he not being the right person. Because he really is. He grew up in Pharaoh's household. There is no greater person for this task than Moses. There's nobody left that knows Pharaoh as good as Moses does. And so God follows that up as he's talking to Moses. He says, you can go because I'm going to be with you. Now, that's where the conversation should have ended, right? Because what more do you need to go and accomplish God's will than God himself being with you? Like, that should have been the end of it. Like, you know, for us, as followers of Christ, we were given this promise that the Holy Spirit lives in us when we come to faith in Christ, and he promises to be with us to the very end of the age. And so when God calls us to do something, we have that promise, and so we should just have our yes on the table all the time because we know that God's going to be with us, and he can accomplish all things through us. We shouldn't mess around with this excuses and I can't and I do this and all that. We just say, yes, God, and go. Lord, you want me to serve in kids ministry? Cool. I don't really know how to do that, but done. I'm going to do it because you're with me. Lord, you want me to go spend a few weeks serving in another country where I've never been before? Cool. You're with me. Let's go. Lord, you want me to go share the gospel and invite people to church? You're going to be with me? Cool. That makes it easy then. But instead, we give excuse after excuse of why we can't. God, I'm too busy. God, my kids have soccer tonight. God, I got travel ball tonight. God, I'm tired. And I just can't help but think about, you know, what if Jesus would have said, hey, I'm too tired to go to the cross. Like, those are the kind of things that run through my mind. Or if God would have said, I'm too tired, you know, to answer your prayers. I got too much going on. I got to watch the ball game tonight. I got to, you know, the Holy Spirit's playing in a soccer game tonight. I got to go watch him. I can't deal with your prayers tonight. But Moses persists. He continues to push back against God's calling. He says, God, are you sure? God, do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to Moses. Remember, I killed that dude over there in Egypt and I left. You remember, you're talking to me, right? Are you sure you got the right guy, God? And so here's what we need to understand about God is that God does not make mistakes. God does not do uh-oh. God did not make a mistake when he created you, and he does not make mistakes when he calls you. Both are done according to his good and perfect and pleasing will. God did not make a mistake when he created you, and when he calls you to do something, he did not make a mistake either, because it's all done according to his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Verse 14, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God says to Moses, or Moses starts off, he says, well, if I go, God, like it's a big if, God, it's a big if I say yes to you, God, like somehow he's able to negotiate this deal. He said, if I say yes, who am I going to tell him sent me? And God says, tell him the I am sent you. The I am sent you. That's going to be good enough, that the I am sent you. The God of Israel sent you. God continues after this point. He answers Moses' question and begins to give him some of the details of the plan. And even in giving the details, Moses pushes back even more in Exodus 4:1. He said, but people aren't going to listen to me. They're not going to believe me. What am I to do now, Lord? So God responds. He tells Moses, hey, yeah, they might, you know, if they don't listen to you, here's what we're going to do. And we know this is how it unfolded. You know, he told Moses to take his staff, throw it on the ground, it turned into a snake, and then he turned it back into a staff. He told Moses to put his hand in his coat. He pulled it out, it was covered in leprosy. Put it back in, and it was gone. He said, I'll perform these signs so that they'll believe. He told him, hey, you're going to turn the water of the Nile into blood. He told him he's going to do all these things as signs through Moses to get Pharaoh's attention, but yet Moses still resists in verse 10. Moses finally says, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Man, Moses had a speech impediment, and he says, hey, this disqualifies me from what you've called me to do, God. This disqualifies me. Moses had a speech impediment, and he believed that this weakness, this disability, he thought it disqualified him from doing this big thing for God. He said, because I am not strong in this area, it disqualifies me from doing what you've called me to do, God. That brings us to our text this morning, verse chapter 4, verse 11, and this was the Lord's response. He said, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Genesis chapter 1 says God has created everybody in this room in his image. There's not one exception. That we have all been created in the image of God. The rest of creation has not been made in the image of God. It is man alone that has been made in God's image. Not only have we been made in God's image, God is reminding Moses in this moment that according to his divine sovereignty, not only has he created us, but he has allowed us to be the person that we are. If you are deaf, he's allowed it. If you can hear, he's allowed it. If you are blind, he's allowed it. If you can't speak, he has allowed it. If you have a speech impediment, he has allowed it. God has uniquely designed each person. He has given each one of us life. He has allowed us to experience what we have experienced because it is for his glory and his good. There is nothing that we have experienced in our life that he has not allowed and that he cannot redeem. John 9 says that, and when talking about disabilities and things like that and weaknesses, that God allows it for his glory, that he might be glorified through those things. And so understand, here's what God is telling Moses in this moment. He says, Moses, I know you. Man, I know everything about you. I created you. I allowed your stuttering speech. I know your struggles. I know your weakness. I know your strength. Moses, I know you. I know exactly the person I am calling to rescue my people, and it is you, weakness and all. I don't care. I am calling you, Moses. I know who I was talking to the moment I spoke to you from this bush. I knew everything about you, Moses. Moses is saying God can't because of his weakness. Because of his deficiency. But God is saying, Moses, you can because I have chosen you and I will be with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says that God is glorified in our weakness. God uses the very things that we think disqualify us from accomplishing the calling on our lives to display his power and bring glory to his name. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about the things that we think sometimes disqualify us, our weaknesses, our disability, whatever it may be. God uses those to display his power and glory through in this world. He does not call us based on our ability. He calls us based on his sovereign will. He calls us according to his good purposes. He gifts us with abilities and talents for his glory. God's family, the church, is full of unique, one-of-a-kind individuals that are united in Christ for the glory of God because that's the way he's designed it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes that even within the local church, those who have giftings that in our flesh would say are not that good, they're not that honorable, he says those are of the most important. Those are the most honorable. See, the giftings of the church, the uniqueness of the individuals in this room, our weaknesses, our strengths, our gifts, our talents, are all to work in unison with one another in a symbiotic relationship for the glory of God, so the glory of God can be shown in and out of those gifts and talents. Everyone that's part of God's family, as part of the church, who has been redeemed through Christ, can be used to accomplish God's good purposes in this life. There is not one exception to that rule. Every one of us has been uniquely gifted by God so we might serve and use those gifts and talents to encourage others and build them up in the faith. Not for our own glory, not for our own gain, not to hide them and keep them to ourselves, but to use them within the body of Christ for the glory of God. Here's where I'll land the plane, and then we'll have our missionaries come and just share for a few moments. But here's what I want us to understand. God has created you on purpose, for purpose. You've heard me say that before. He has allowed you to be who you are. He's allowed you to experience things you experience. He's designed you in such a way. He's allowed you to be shaped in such a way so that he could use you for his glory and for his kingdom, to accomplish his good purposes in the world, to move his kingdom forward. The question at the end of the day is, will you heed the call? Will you surrender your plans for his? Will you allow Jesus to work in you so that God might work through you? So that you that he might accomplish his good plans through you like he did through the individuals that went and served this week. The individuals who went and served this week, they said yes to God's what? They said, I'll go and allow you to work through me even though I don't think I'm qualified to go and do this. And you know what happens every single time? God shows up every single time. He's just asking you to say yes. He's not asking you to accomplish on your own. He's saying, you say yes, I'm going to take care of the rest. And so my hope is that after today, maybe if you're not serving, if you're not using your giftings and abilities, that you would say yes to doing that within the context of the local church. And that maybe you would start praying about how God may use you outside of the church. Maybe going on a short-term mission trip. Maybe moving to another country. Maybe saying yes to being in full-time ministry. Maybe saying yes to doing whatever God has put on your heart that you've been giving him excuses for why you're not going to do it for all these years. So I'm going to pray for us real quick, and I'm going to have our missionaries come up and just share kind of briefly what they experienced this week. We'll close out in worship, and you guys will be free to go enjoy the rest of your Father's Day. So pray with me real quick. Heavenly Father, in your word you teach us that we are to follow your example of a servant. And then we serve out of our overflow for our love for you. And so God, I just pray as a church, we dwell in that overflow. God, that you would cultivate just a mindset of servanthood where we're willing to put others before self, where you're willing to use the giftings and the talents you've given us for your glory. God, that we would quit making excuses of why we can't, and that trust that you're going to make up for our deficiencies when we just keep our yes on the table. God, I thank you for this group that went and served this week. I thank you for those people that come faithfully every Sunday and serve. I thank you for those that serve in all the other capacities throughout the week here in your church, Father God. And I just pray that in that you would help us have an increased love for you and an increased love for people. God, that you would be glorified in everything that we do. God, we love you and we praise you. We just pray, sing to your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to have Chris come up first. I know he's got to get back to kids. And then Miss Lily, if you want to come up, Annabelle, and I think Sam and Renee. If you just want to stand over here, sir, that'd be great. You guys can go ahead and come up and stand next to Chris so he's not all alone. It's all yours, sir.
Good. Good morning. Good morning. I didn't plan to talk today, so I'm just going to say what God put on my heart. So one thing I noticed this week is when you say yes to Jesus, and it doesn't matter what capacity you're in. It doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter if you can walk or talk or express yourself in a typical way. God's going to use you, and it's going to be in ways that you're not going to expect. It's going to be in ways that, you may not think you're able to do. But when you take yourself out of the equation, God says yes. And he's going to use just, he's just going to work in ways that's amazing. This week I saw amazing young people step up and say yes to Jesus, not only from our church, which I'm very proud of y'all, but there was a huge youth group from two other churches that was there serving Jesus. And you could tell that they pulled themselves out of the equation and they did some hard things this week. When you're around people with disabilities, special needs, whatever it may be, you realize that they don't communicate like we do. They don't sometimes talk verbally. They don't walk the way we walk. So there's different ways of communicating. There's different ways of loving them that somebody Annabelle or Lily's age may not understand. But when you get to go to Johnny and Friends, you see such a huge support group that want to show everybody, not only the people with disabilities, but their families who need a little bit of respite. They want to show a little piece of Jesus. And I really believe that's what the Johnny and Friends is there for. It's a little slice of heaven. It's a little slice of serving. You know, Jesus says, hey, Pastor Jared mentions it all the time, what are the two commandments? Love God, love people. Loving people with disabilities and getting out of your comfort zone, if you haven't done that, you're missing out. I'm just telling you. Even if you go into it selfishly, you're going to find a point of that week where God's going to take you out of that, and he's going to show you how good and awesome he is. So if you're on the fence about doing anything, whether it's working with kids back here, whether it's greeting, whether it's going on a mission trips and doing stuff like that is my heart. I love that. If you want to do that and you need support, Johnny and Friends, hands down, is the place to be. So not only are we supported and are serving throughout the week, even though it's hard, I'm going to tell you, it was hard. There were some long, tiring days. When my buddy decided he had enough, it could get physical, it could get emotional, it could whatever. But the support I had there, not only debriefing with these guys and seeing them serve, was beyond anything that I could have imagined. So I'm probably talking too much, but if y'all are ready to see a little piece of heaven, if y'all want to see people with servant hearts and experience something that I personally believe is just a sliver of heaven, but it's better than anything that you may have ever experienced, go to Johnny and Friends.
This may be longer, maybe short, I don't know. So I'm gonna kind of talk about my year last year and this year. So when I went last year, I'd only been saved for 4 full months, and I knew nothing about disability, so it was terrifying. I was kind of just jumping right into the deep end. And while there was a lot of good that came from it, it was rough on me. And I didn't want to talk about all the rough parts because I thought my feelings were invalid. I didn't think I had a right to feel that way. But I decided, regardless of how I felt, I was going to come back the next year. And I did. But I decided to do a different role. And this role was definitely meant for me. I got to show up for people in ways I don't think I could have if I went to the different role that I had last year. If I had last year. It was also just amazing to be able to sit back and watch people interact with their buddies, because I got to see things like, I was able to see people interact with somebody who couldn't talk or walk, and like, they made sure that he interacted in a way with everything that I didn't know he could interact with, and it was amazing to see people connect with others who couldn't speak, you know? Like, despite that speaking barrier being there, they were able to connect in such a way, and that was beautiful. And then seeing how the families, how that affected them, you know, and how much it meant to them to see that their family member being treated in such a loving way. And I finally decided to speak up this week about like how I felt last year, and I got so much validation, and it was just amazing. And so basically my point is, is that it's okay to talk about the hard parts of serving. You know, your feelings are valid. And also, not every role is meant for us. We are all called to different things. So if you go out and try to serve and whatever role you did wasn't meant for you, that is okay. You can show up, try a different role, try to serve in a different way. And I'm trying to think what I was going to say. Try to serve in a different way. Just find what works best for you, because we're all called to different things.
Johnny and Friends was not what I expected. I was told my buddy had lots of energy, and I pictured a kid who didn't want to sit down or ran around just a little bit. No, my buddy was always running around. We got there on Sunday. We were almost late. At first, we all sat down in the auditorium from 1:30 to 7 or 8. I was insanely tired and wanted to leave, but I now realized that that was so important. We put on these gloves with cotton on the tips and had to button a shirt or tie a shoe. I now understand what some of those kids have to go through every day. The next night was when I met my buddy. He ate so much, sometimes I had to stop him. We had 7 golf cart rides and endless days of running around. His mom was so sweet. She gave me a beautiful green pen. It's little, but it means so much to me. I had made so many friends. I think one of my favorite things there was the fellowship. Everyone treated each other equally and as they would treat themselves. So every night we would meet and talk about our day. One girl named Mary said, "When I'm here, I always think what the families want. But when I get back, I don't want to think what I want. I want to serve and help other people." And that was God speaking to me right then and there. During the closing ceremony, one of the teens with disabilities said, "I went hiking and rock climbing. I even found a new skill in drumming. I did things that I never thought I could do. That did it. I cried." And it wasn't tears of sadness that she'd never done those things before. They were tears of joy that she got to do those things. It's amazing to see how God made such a beautiful masterpiece.
Now, Annabelle, Sam, and Renee, this was their first time going on a mission trip in general.
In general.
So, Sam, are you going to share, or are you just going to look pretty?
Come on, Sam.
You want me to stand next to you, buddy? We did sing together.
It's too late.
All right.
It comes by it honestly.
Sam got to go on a hike for the very first time in his life. Woo! Sorry, Renee. Got to be close enough to lick it.
Okay. So the hike was amazing. He got to be in the Rosie, and they took him through the water. They took him over the log. It was so amazing to watch. It was so amazing. Words are so hard. The love, the amount of love that was poured into each individual. And not even us as volunteers, we're just so poured into, and just each family member was so poured into. So much love. Words are hard, guys. I'm sorry. It is so amazing. Johnny and Friends, and I think everybody should pray really hard over the next year about going. It would touch your heart like nothing else. And I'm sorry.
Thank you, Renee. So I'll close with this. So I don't think I've ever been, either as a family or serving, without crying. Watching Renee, though, serving this week, and then getting to see Sam experience things he's never done, made it all worth it. But I was talking to another pastor that was there, and we said, you know, we've both done a lot of ministries in church over the years, whether it's homeless, whether it's men's ministry, whatever. We've never seen anything that really brings out that part of side of people outside of disability ministry, that servant side. But also, we've never seen a ministry that teaches people how to love that well. If you can love that demographic and serve them, and your church is welcoming to anybody. But also, we agreed that we've never seen a ministry that attracts lost people like disability ministry. Like we both had experiences over the years where we were doing disability ministry and we were attracting people that wanted to come and serve. They would tell you up front, I don't believe in Jesus, but I have a passion for these people. Can I come serve with you? And we're like, absolutely. And you're going to hear about Jesus too. But, and so, I don't know. Like, there's just something, you know, you read in I think it's Luke or Mark where Jesus says, hey, go out into the world, get the lame, get the sick, get those that cannot repay you, man, get the least of these and bring them in. And so I think that's what we've been called to do, and I hope you guys can see the beauty and the joy. And then I do hope that you pray about serving at Johnny and Friends. You know, our hope next year is to do a couple of respite cares, which is kind of a mini version. But it's really hard to cast the vision for that without you going and experiencing it first, because I've never been able to fully put it into words. You just kind of got to go see it. And then you're like, oh, this is what church is supposed to look like. This is what service looks like. This is what the love of Jesus looks like. And so you guys, they have, Sam has a lot more to say, and he'll be probably willing to tell you that outside of a microphone. He can tell you about our duet together and how he picked on me all week and things like that. But my wife is going to come pray for all the fathers in the room, and then Matt and the team are going to lead us in worship, and then Jared will close us out with a few announcements, and then you guys are free to have a wonderful Father's Day. So, babe, if you want to come up and lead us.
Thank you. So one of the perks of being the pastor's wife is that most of the time, if the Lord leads me to do something, Jared usually says yes. So thank you for that. Part of my testimony is getting to see great examples of fathers and not great examples of a father. And so Father's Day is really special to me. There's some hard parts to it, but there's also a lot of redemption in it. And so today, as I was just reflecting on Father's Day, I just wanted to get the honor to pray over the dads and even the future dads in this room. So if today is a hard day for you, maybe because you've lost a father or maybe because you never had a great example of a dad, just know that I'm praying for you. Or maybe you want to be a dad and that just hasn't come to fruition for you. Just know that you are in my prayers today. But if you're able, and if you're a father, could you stand, please? And if you have one of these guys near you, if you don't feel comfortable putting your hands on them, that's fine. But if you could just reach your hands in the direction of them and pray with me as we honor these guys, these men of Replicate Church. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for every man, God, that's standing in this room, God, maybe even the ones that aren't standing, that are fathers, God. I thank you for having them here today, God, that they chose to be in your house over something else this morning, God. I pray that you would honor that decision that they've made, God. Father, I pray for each one of these men. God, I don't know if they've had great examples of fathers or maybe they had bad examples of fathers, God, but you know them personally. And God, you know the things that they need to be the men that you've called them to be. So God, I want to ask you humbly today, God, that each one of these sons of yours, Lord, that you would equip them and you would sustain them, that you would teach them and guide them and show them how to lead their families, how to love their children gently and fiercely, how to take care of their wives. And God, if they're single, God, that you would continue to show them how to lead their children, Lord. God, I pray for any areas of brokenness in these sons of yours, God. I know that they have wounds, God, because we all do here. And God, I pray that you would give them the courage to fight against any darkness that has happened in their life, God, whether it was abuse, whether it's an addiction, God, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would equip them with the strength and the bravery to run hard after you and to seek healing, God. I pray that generational cycles in their life would end with them. I pray that they would say no more to the things that have chained their families. God, I pray that they would step up and that they would lead and that they would become trustworthy men that have integrity. God, I pray that you would bless them, not just with families, God, but that you would bless them with other brothers around them, God, that would not just call them out, but call them up. I pray that the men of Replicate Church, God, will have such a tight bond that they will always have a brother, that they will always have a friend, whether near or far, God, that they can rely on, that they can lean on, that they can share the hardest things with and be encouraged, God. Father, I thank you for these men. I pray that they will be men of courage, men of integrity, and men that are worthy of being led. God, not men that are seeking perfection, but God, that are walking with you. And Lord, if they've made mistakes, because I know we all have, God, I pray that today would be the day that they will start to, God, lay down their pride and work on doing the right things, God. Whether that's apologizing to a family member and making a choice to lead well, or deciding that maybe at their workplace, Lord, that they're going to step up and stand for you, God. God, I pray for these men, and I pray for everyone in here that supports them, God. Help us to be great encouragement to them. And I thank you for the honor of being in a church with wonderful fathers, God. And I just praise you in advance for the things that you're going to do in their life this year. I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So some of you who know me, I'm really transparent. I probably say too much sometimes. Some of you who know me know I suffer from really bad dry eyes. My primary tear glands were destroyed by an autoimmune condition. But so I forgot my eye drops today, and after announcements, like, man, I got to go get my eye drops. But had I known that we'd be doing all this crying, I would have just stayed. But no, that was a very touching moments there. Thanks for all of you who shared. Thanks for all of you who served. And with that being said, Pastor did talk about how our talents are used in unison to do God's work. And I often think about, I still have this vision stuck in my mind, and I'm going to do my best not to cry, but it was Jared Smith back there who didn't know I was going to call him out. Jared Smith, and there was another gentleman during the Fruit Ninjas. You knew exactly what I was talking about, huh? It was Chase, and there he is. So this room didn't have any chairs, and it was the last event of the Fruit Ninjas where the kids were dancing and everything. And, you know, getting to know these guys and the dark past that we had gone through. And, you know, you think about it, it's like during those moments, they probably had in their lives and their past, they probably had no idea how important it would be for them one day to spend 5 minutes to help a kid stand, to dance. And enjoy, you know, being a part of that event and experiencing the blessings of God. So, thank you, bro. Anyway, there's a saying that, you know, we do have to balance our personal lives with serving, you know, and sometimes life gets in the way and you don't want to neglect, you know, devoting your life to God, but you also don't want to neglect your families. So, but I'll tell you this, though, there's a saying that, you know, if you get busy serving, you won't have time for sinning. So if you're sitting there and you're still struggling with some of those aspects, those sinful things going on in your life, don't be discouraged, all right? Do not be discouraged, but you do need to get out there, come to prayer night, you know, join a small group, come to the men's breakfast, go to the women's retreats, because what happens is, as you align your heart with the things that God loves, and when you go home from those events, it's harder to go and do those things you were doing. You have a little bit more resistance every time. You may not overcome it right away, but you're able to resist it a little more and a little more and a little more until you've completely overcome it. And you know, and people see that in you more than you see that. It's as you change, you're so intimately familiar with the old you, and you know the things you're still engaging in. People are seeing the new you before you've fully transformed. So stay with it. And I have to do it, make a quick plug for prayer night. You know, one of the most foundational aspects of our beliefs in being Christians is the power of prayer. And that 1 hour, those Sunday nights that we have prayer, are extremely important. If you can make it, please mark your calendar. We don't have one on the calendar just yet. You got the night? Here he is.
So the next one is July 20th, and it's a little different because we're going to do a kind of commissioning and ordination service for Sean, who's leaving to go be a full-time student at New Orleans Baptist Seminary, and then from there pursue full-time ministry. So we're going to ordain him as a church. We're going to pray over him that night. So that's going to be July 20th. We don't have all the times yet, but come be a part of that service. Come pray over him. Come encourage him as we prepare him to go for that, go out and do what God has called him to do. So that's July 20th. Put it on your calendar. It's the Sunday before the kids camp. So it'll be a great segue to come serve at the kids camp that Friday. And so July 20th is the next prayer night.
Cat's out of the bag now. All right. So July 20th, please mark your calendars. That's great. But still, my point being that is, you know, we need you, we need you all to be here for corporate prayer night. There's a tremendous amount of power in prayer, and our community needs it. Our church needs it, and those who are lost need it, among many others. So that being said, quick announcements. Baby bottles were due today. You kind of have an unofficial extension. So one more week to bring those back if you forgot yours at home, Marie. And the 28th, we'll have the Replicate Hangout at the beach. Three Chords is going to be resuming pretty soon. And again, check the next six tables for the signups, where we need help, where we have events coming up. And last night, I developed this cool women's retreat flyer. It's not here yet today, but it's coming. And actually, I knew nothing about the place they're going to. And so I'm Googling it. I'm like, all right, I'm a little bit jealous of the ladies. They're doing it, doing something amazing again in an amazing place. But anyhow, that concludes the announcements. We went a little bit over today, but you're free to go. God bless you, and may his face shine upon you.